make it home. Well, good morning. I'm Pastor Jerry, and on the mornings I preach, I'll just put this to you. On the mornings I preach, I don't get around and greet people, simply for the reason over the years of 53 years, somebody's going to ask me when my dog died or something. They're going to get my mind completely off of what I have studied and tried to relate to you, I'll get back to greeting everybody next Sunday. Pastor will be back here, and that's wonderful. And it's good that I can finish up what we started here several weeks ago in the little book of Jude. And so if you want to turn there, there's 25 verses there, packed full of spiritual dynamite. And it's been wonderful to be able to go through the little book of Jude again. If you have a problem with that, just go to the end of your New Testament and just turn back out of the book of Revelation and you'll find the little book of Jude. So it's good that we can be here, fellowship together. And as already been stated here, we invite you to come and be with us in our other services also. We've been dealing with apostasy. And apostasy or apostate is somebody that has turned from the truth. They have fallen away. They have heard the truth. That doesn't mean that they're saved, but they've heard the truth and they have rejected the truth. And there come a time in their life where they try to replace the truth of what we preach and teach here at this church. And so two more things in the book of Jude, and we're going to be finished with Jude. If you remember, I've been trying to kind of follow an outline. This outline come into my possession some, 40-something years ago. And I'd never used the outline. I'd never preached from this outline until this time around. There was the preamble to the apostasy in verses 1 and 2. There was the problems with the apostate in verses 3 through 7. And then there's the pride of the apostate in verses 8 down through verses number 16. And so this morning we're going to deal with the predictions concerning the apostate and the provisions against apostate. And so he's simply informing us of the dangers that is facing believers, the danger of false teachers that are within or around us. And there's false teachers in just about every Christian organization that is out there. And what really bothers me is some of the things that goes on in some of these. Some of these organizations just recently, they had a meeting and they kind of did a survey concerning some of the things. And 50% of the people there that was in the religious organizations, they did not even believe in the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't believe the Bible to be the inspired, infallible Word of God. They didn't believe in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't believe in a place that's called heaven. And I kind of scratched my head and I said, what are they doing in a religious organization? Well, that's what religion will do for you. We serve Christianity around here. We are born again Christians. We love the Lord. We've been saved by His marvelous grace. We believe in the virgin birth. We believe that Jesus died for our sins. We believe that He's gone away to prepare a place for us and that He's coming again. And we don't know when He's coming again, but we want to be ready when that moment comes. So they're great leaders that are out there, but they don't believe in these sayings. Even one person said that he didn't believe that the blood of Jesus is what we are saved by. I wonder what he does with Hebrews 9:22, where it says, without the shedding of the blood, there is no remission of sins. So we need to study the Word of God. We need to make ourselves familiar with the things that are found within the pages of the Scriptures. All Scripture is inspiration of God. So look at some things this morning. I'll try to be as brief as I possibly can, and we'll get out of here by 2 o'clock, surely. I'm not a very long-winded person, I'll tell you that right now. I'll get done. God says that's it, and we'll leave out of here. We even have a time set around here that y'all can even beat the Methodist church and the Baptist church downtown to the restaurants and get your meal there. And so we'll try to get you out by time where you can do that. Okay. I want you to notice the predictions concerning the apostate in verses 17, 18, and 19. And you'll notice there as I read that, but beloved, remember. And if you're used to writing in your Bible, underline the word remember. Remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I ask myself, what does he want me to remember? Well, he'll answer that for you here. He says, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust, and these be they, now notice here, the three things, these be they who separate themselves, number one, they are sensual, number two, and number three, having not the Spirit. So if you remember some time ago in the pastor's message in 1 John, and I'm looking forward to him getting back to 1 John. That was one of the first books that I read when I became a born-again child of God. And you say, why didn't you read something else? I don't know. Just somebody told me to read 1 John, and that's what I did. But in 1 John, it says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For had they been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be manifest that none of them were of us. And the sad thing of it is, when false teachers or these people go out of a church, usually they'll take somebody with them. Maybe several people will go with them into their organization, and they'll start a brand new organization out there, and they'll call it Fellowship or Faith or some other name for the church. But we're living in the last days. I think every generation thought the Lord Jesus Christ was going to come in their lifetime. And that's my ideal. I believe Jesus is going to come in my lifetime. But whether Jesus comes in this walk of life or not, to be absent from this body is to be present with our Lord. And what a joy that's going to be. There's no more doctor's visit, no more medicine to take, no more pain. I remember a lady, she said her last name was Pain. I says, you can't go to heaven. She says, why? I says, the Bible says there'll be no pain there. So there'll be no pain there. There'll be no AIDS there in that time. So we're living in the age of grace. The age where God's mercy and God's grace is flowing throughout the known world through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you remember, it says here, the word was spoken by the apostles. And there are no apostles today. There are no prophets today. Even though there may be some that say they are, they are not. There were 12 of them, and they were Peter, James, and John, Andrew, Philip, Judas Iscariot, Matthew, Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, Bartholomew, Judas Thaddeus, and Simon Zelotes, I believe is the way you pronounce that. And that's the apostles that we have here in the Word of God that was preaching and teaching and telling us these things are going to come before us. So my job, along with Pastor Scotty, is to do the same thing that these 12 apostles were doing in their day. And that is, we are to preach the gospel to the church. And not only that, but we are to protect the church against the false teachers that might come. And then we're to pray for the church. So we are to preach, we are to protect, and we are to pray. And whenever a gospel message is given, I don't care who it is that's preaching it, a person that preaches the gospel, sometimes there will be those that will protest against the message. And maybe even you here today, you just don't believe in what I'm saying or what the pastor's saying. I check up and see where I'm at. I check up and see whether or not I've really ever been born again. If you've ever watched the news, and sometimes I don't want to watch the news, but here lately, there's been a lot of protesting that is going on, not only in America, but around the world. There's protesting that is going on. And I found out just the other day, of course, I guess I heard it even before, you can go out, there is an organization that will set up a protest for you. I don't care what you want to protest against. If you're willing to pay the money for the protesting, they will hire somebody and they will send them out there with their signs and with their rhetoric and all like that and saying what they need to say. And they're protesting against what you are standing for. And so evil people that are out there, they don't like judgment upon sin or upon evil. And our society has become more and more lenient in dealing with the sins that are out there. I just noticed there yesterday as I got up early and I was listening to the news, and this guy that had raped and killed somebody, or no, he killed a cop, excuse me. This guy had killed a cop and they let him out on bail. There was another one yesterday that had robbed this older lady and took her stuff away from her and killed her, and they have let them out on bond. This is up in Wisconsin, so don't move to Wisconsin. Don't move to Wisconsin. You thinking about moving there? All right. Protesters. They're seen to be mockers, walking after their own ungodly lust. And Jude tells us here in these passages that the mockers will be evident in the end time. So I say to you, are we coming close to the end? Are we there? Because we're seeing all this mocking that's going on, all these protest groups. And Jude is telling us here, remember these words. Remember what the pastors, the preachers, the evangelists, those that are standing true to the Word of God. Remember those things. And remembering here involves more than just a memory of something, but it involves meditation and pondering and praying on those words that have been shared with us through the Word of God. I was shocked this morning. Our pastor taught our Sunday school class, which I appreciate very, very much. But he said the average Christian prays, I believe he said, 4 minutes a day. 4 minutes a day. Where does that put you? I have to pray about every hour. I come in here every day but Saturday and Sunday and Monday. And I go to my office and I read a passage of scripture, and then I pray. What's this saying to me? What am I benefiting here get in this word, and then I have to study my lesson, or if I'm preaching, I have to dig up something in the Word of God. So Jude gives us three things about these people. Jot them down if you can. I'm trying to follow my outline, and sometimes I can't follow my outline. And I'm supposed to have my outline ready for Friday where they can put it on the overhead here. And so the thing of it is, Saturday and Sunday and last night, or this morning and last night, God adds to that. So if you don't get it, that's my fault, ain't it? Because I don't have it before you. They are defiant. The Bible says they walk after their own godly lust there in verse number 18. They are not walking after the will and the ways of God. They're divisive people. They're ungodly. And it says they have ungodly lust. They're mockers. They are, as my grandmother say, they're rotten to the core. And so we realize they live unholy lives, lives that are sinful, and they practice unholy ways. That's the reason that you can just about see anything that is out there that's taking place. Not only are they defiant, but they're defensive. It says they separate themselves. You know sin divides. Do you know sin will splinter? Do you know sin can destroy a home? Do you know sin can destroy a church? Do you realize what sin can do in our day? That's the reason we stand against sin. And so we can see all these divisions that are taking place in our day. Even every once in a while, we hear about a church that is splitting and they're divided. And one group goes this way and another group goes this way. And the devil is doing all that he can in this world, having a heyday when things like this are happening. He's enjoying the separation and the sinful things and the people that are divided about the things that are God. He's having a heyday with that. He's loose. He's doing all he can to destroy and defeat and tear down the church of our day. And so we need to be made aware. And not only are they defiled and defensive, but they are degenerate. It says here that they are sensual. That means they're having not the Spirit of God. I believe that these mockers have never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior. When I do wrong, there's something right in here that contacts with something up here, and it tells me that that's not good. Now, I know that God doesn't speak audibly in an audible voice, but if he did speak in an audible voice, sometimes he would say, "Jerry, you better look at that again, or you better not do that again. If you do that again, I'm going to give to you more than just a slap on the wrist." It's kind of like one day my daddy had gotten a load of firewood in. And daddy said to me that morning when he left, he says, "I want you to split that load of wood and stack it up out there. We'll need that come winter time." Well, daddy come home that evening, and I didn't split any wood. You know why I didn't split any wood? I just really didn't feel like splitting wood. Daddy gave me a feeling that I wanted to split wood, though. It was a feeling in a place that you know where. And so I got out there and got busy splitting the wood because I couldn't sit down. I still had a feeling. The Bible says in Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And Then on down in verse number 9 of that same chapter, he says, "Now if anyone have not the Spirit of Christ, they are none of his." Does that need an interpretation? If anyone have not the Spirit of Christ, they are none of his. Indicates here that they are not saved. They have never been redeemed. They have not come to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. And so they need to be saved. And so they're sensual. They're walking after their own flesh. We have people today, they're living their sensual way. You know, they have a sensual appetite. Now, I've got an appetite today simply for the reason the doctor has told me you have diabetes. You need to watch what you eat. I said, "Doc, I always watch what I eat. I look down at the spoon or the fork or whatever, and I look to see what I'm eating." He said, No. You need to watch your sugar intake." So when he tells me I can't have ice cream, I can't have these sugar things, I can't have Cokes and these kind of things, it has a lot of sugar in it, you can't have that. What is my problem? I've got an appetite for it, but I can't have it. Do y'all have that? What about a Milky Way? You know. And my wife, bless her heart, is doing all she can to get me all these things. I said, "Read the labels. Read the labels." And just about everything that you read out there has got some kind of content of sugar in it. And I said, "Doc, everything's got sugar in it." "Oh, yeah, I know, but watch it. Don't drink. Don't eat anything above about 4 to 5 milligrams. And I've been eating this strawberry yogurt, and I love it. And I've got an appetite for it. And I went to the refrigerator last night, and there's a whole case sitting there. And I asked my wife, I says, "Any sugar in that? Read it." She said, "It's on the bottom." I turned it up there, and I read it, and it's got 17 or 18 grams of sugar in it. I just shoved it back in there and slammed the door. Took a glass of water. No spiritual appetite, no spiritual aims. They have no spiritual discipline to guide their lives. I trust that there's nobody here today in that category. Then there's the provisions against apostates. First, number 20, let me read verses 20 and 21. I know we probably have the other down, but let me read 20 and 21. "But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." One thing that I'd point out here at the end of Jude, and that is, Jude takes his focus off of false prophets and false teachers, counterfeit Christians, and he begins to talk to true Christians, those of us that are here today. In the last 5 verses, he's given the instructions concerning our personal spiritual responsibilities toward others, and then our responsibilities toward God. And he tells us that we are to clean up our own lives before we try to help somebody else clean up their lives. It's hard for a person that is involved in something that maybe is questionable, and maybe you're seeing somebody over here that's probably involved in something similar or maybe even worse, and you begin to get on to them concerning what they're doing when what you're doing maybe is just as bad as what they're doing. Now, you young people here, I know that you don't have any problem with bad language. I know y'all don't have that. Surely you don't. But that was my problem when I was your age. But I got saved in September the 15th, 1965. And I said, boy, I can't cuss no more. I can't go to the liquor store anymore. And so I hadn't been saved too long until I was still going to the liquor store. I wasn't drinking. I was just going there to watch those who did. I was watching the winos fight over a bottle that had just a drop in it. And they would literally fist fight over a drop that's left in a bottle. I enjoyed that. I was having fun. And I was doing real good. Until one day, I was working at Arrow Shirt Factory. And I was what you call a bundle boy. You're bringing up things for other people to sew together. And this guy come up, and I've been doing this, and he come up and he says, that ain't the way you do that. You got to do it like this. And he began to harass me concerning how I was doing the job that I'd been taught to do. And it came out. And I felt bad after I'd done that. So I went back to church on Wednesday, and I said, preacher, I need to get saved again. I just cussed a feller out just a day or two ago. He took me to his office and explained to me that I didn't need to get saved again. I just need to clean up what I was doing. He said, you're saved for eternity. Nothing's able to separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I didn't know that in that day. But he showed me in the Word of God what it means to have eternal life. And by the way, what is eternal life? Is eternal life something that you have until you no longer want it? Notice what it says in these verses. He tells us here to pursue growth. Build yourselves up in your most holy faith. You know what that means? That means to become doctrinally strong. Find out what the Word of God has to say. In order that you might edify other people or even edify yourselves concerning the Word of God, which means that you need to uplift people, help them to learn. That's what we're doing here on Sunday morning in our Sunday school classes that you are asked to be a part of. Come and be a part of that, because we are there for the purpose of trying to rightly divide the word of truth, that if you have a question concerning what's going on, we might try to answer that for you. So here, we're here for the purpose of uplifting you up. That's what we're doing on Wednesday night as we study in small groups. So we encourage you to get involved in the Sunday school and in the small groups. And you say, well, I don't know where to go. Well, we can take care of that very quickly. And you say, well, I don't like that class. Well, you've got several others you can go to. And just shop around till you find one. And you say, well, I don't like any of them. Well, start your own. We need another small group, do we not, Pastor? If you don't like what we're doing in some of the other small groups, start your own. What does it mean to build? And what is it that we're to build on? You know, several years ago, and I love prophecy, We know that Jesus is coming to the Mount of Olives when he comes back. And we know when you study prophecy, it says that when he comes there, he's going to put his feet on the Mount of Olives, and that thing's going to split right down the middle. And part of it's going to go one way, another part's going to go the other way. And there was this hotel that wanted to build a hotel on the top of the Mount of Olives. And they did a survey of it, and they said, you can't build there. And they said, why? They said, because there's a crack already down the middle. So when God created the heavens and the earth, even before he was ever crucified, before he died on the cross of Calvary, God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit said, one day Jesus is going to come there and we're going to fix it where the mountain is going to split apart already. So in the beginning, God fixed the mountain there where when Jesus comes again in his revelation, everything's going to split down the middle, just like it says in the Word of God. Romans 14:10 tells us that we're to follow after the things which make for peace and wherewith one may edify another. So what are we to build on? You're to build on the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other foundation. We're to pursue spiritual growth. How do you do that? Through the Word of God. That's a good place to start. Through the Word of God. Through fellowship one with another. That's the reason if you come into this church and somebody don't shake your hands and greet you in the name of the Lord, come see me. This is the friendliest church I've ever walked in. There was a feller wanted me to visit a church, and I visited this church on a Sunday night. Mary and I did. And we got there that night, and everybody was coming in, and they were coming in. Some of them looked like they had their mother-in-law had moved in with them. They were sad. One little lady walked over and says, how are y'all doing tonight? And shook our hands and said, that's great, that's wonderful, glad to have you. But we sat there, and nobody else come by. Pastor got up and says, I'm not preaching tonight, but we're having a little meeting here concerning the matter of how we are to make our church more productive and how our church should meet people who come into this fellowship. Okay. I'm sitting on the back bench out of everybody's way. And he gets up and he goes through all this, and all these people are talking among themselves how that we should treat people when they come into the church and all like that. And he said, by the way, says, we got a man sitting back there on the back and he's visiting with us tonight. And sir, we'd like to ask you, what do you think about our church? And I said, no, I'd rather not get involved. No, we really want to know. We really want to know what you think about our church. I stood up and I said, well, sir, you've asked me and I'm going to tell you. Me and my wife's come in here. Nobody's looked our way. Nobody shook our head. Nobody greeted us in the name of our Lord. And you're trying to get people here to find out what it is it takes to make the church greater and more productive and all like that. I suggest that you begin to greet those people who come in. And he looked around at everybody and he said, make sure that everybody in this church goes back there and shakes hands with this man and woman. I said, you don't have to. We're leaving. You ask me, I'll tell you. I think it embarrassed my wife a little. But anyhow, number two, we're to pursue growth. We're to pray in the Spirit. The will, desires, the decrees. Have you ever been in the place that you didn't know what to pray for? What does the Scripture tell you about that? Romans 8:26 says what? The Spirit helps our infirmities. For we know not what we pray for, what we should pray for, as we ought, but the Spirit itself does what? It's make intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the heart knows what's in the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. What does it mean to pray in the Holy Spirit? Submitting ourselves to him, seeking his wisdom, trust and power. Number three, keep yourselves in the love of God. That doesn't mean keep yourself saved. It says keep yourself in the love of God. My mom and daddy sometimes, they loved me all the time. I know they did. But when I didn't split daddy's firewood like he told me to, I got out of fellowship. He reminded me of that. And then number four, waiting for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. We live with eternity in view. Amen? Amen. Then verse 22 and 23, right quick. And have some have compassion, making a difference, and others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even their garments spotted by the flesh. Three kinds of people. There's the spiritual doubter, those who doubt whether they've really been saved or not. And I've been there, knowing God's will for their life. They didn't know that. And there's been times like that for me. And so if you're a spiritual doubter, then you need to get involved in Sunday school. You need to be involved in small groups, because we deal with that from time to time. There's the spiritual dead. It talks about those that are bound for the fires of hell. But it says we're to snatch them out of the fire. If you go down this road here and there's a house on fire and you know there's somebody in there, what is our natural instinct to do? We go down there and we grab them out of that house because we don't want to see them burn up. What about those that's going to hell? There's the spiritual deceived. Those who are hurting their spiritual walk with God. You need to inform them that that's not the way you do it. And then there's the spiritual deceived. Then let's read verses 24 and 25 right quickly, and we'll finish up the little book of Jude. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God and Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Three reasons to praise God. Number one, because he keeps us. Nothing is able to separate us from the love of God. Romans chapter number 8, verse 32. Because he will present us. He will be presented as the bride of Christ without spot or blemish. Had a lot of weddings over the years. And I've never seen an ugly bride on the day she's fixing to get married. But I've seen her a month or two later. And I've wondered if that's who I thought she was. I'm just being fair with you. But he'll present us. And then because of who he is, there's none more powerful. There's none more loving. There's none more kind than our Heavenly Father. So the Bible tells us here that we are to give glory with exceeding joy. I mean, when they sing, that should excite us. When we preach, that should excite people. Now I'm going to get on to you. He sings and you can raise your hand, but me and Scotty can preach and you won't even lift them up. And I'm looking forward someday when somebody just stands up and holds their hands up. Glory to God, preacher. Glory to God. With exceeding joy, the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty and dominion and power. When? Both now and forever. Thank you for your time this morning. Father, thank you for the Word of God that's forever settled in the heavens. Thank you for the privilege this morning to stand again and proclaim the truths that's found in the Word of God. Thank you that you chose a man like Jude to write to us and tell us in the end time some of the things that we expect and look and can see and look forward knowing that when these things show up, we're getting close to the coming again of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we have to give glory and dominion and majesty to your name because you're worthy. Thank you for saving a wretch like me. Thank you for doing for me what nobody else could do. Thank you for snatching me out of the grips of the devil who designed for me to die and go to hell. And Lord, if there's somebody here today that's never surrendered their life to God, I pray that this will be the day that they do that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Hey guys, Pastor Scotty Gerard here, and I just wanted to say thank you for joining us today. We really hope that this has been a resource that's helped you grow in your purpose for God, but also grow in His glory. We also want to extend an invitation to you to join us here in person at Harmony Grove. We are located at 1008 Town Creek School Road in Blairsville, Georgia. We would love for you to come be a part of our service, to be a part of our small groups. If you have children, we have children's classes on Wednesday night and on Sunday morning, and all this information can be found on our website. We'd also like to continue help you in your growth with Christ. If you have a question, maybe a prayer request, or just need to talk to somebody, you can contact us in the emails below in the description, or you can also contact us through our app and through our website, which are also found in the description below. Again, we hope this has been a blessing to you because we know that you joining us today has been a great blessing to us. Thank you so much. God bless.